Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
So today we are continuing, I have too many things up here. We are continuing in our series of Jesus on Purpose, talking about the purpose and mission of Jesus. And this is the passage that we've been going through for the last month or so. And we've been going through it pretty detailed, talking about things line by line. But I just want to take a minute, and just before we dive into that a little bit more, before we dive into the next line, just take a minute and step back and kind of understand the big picture of this statement and what Jesus was really doing with this, because his mission and his purpose is to usher in the kingdom of God. And sometimes that can be kind of hard for us to get our minds around. So I thought we'd start with a real kitschy cartoon, because that always works, right? Of course, we all know the Garden of Eden, and it's a little small, so it's kind of hard to see, but we've got our happy couple there in the middle, Adam and Eve. Doesn't this look like just a lovely place to be? Everybody's happy, everybody's getting along, even the lion and the lamb get along, there's plenty of food, water, like everything's just lovely. It's heaven on earth, which I think might actually be where that phrase came from, because this really is heaven on earth. This is the way God intended us to live. This is the life he intended for us. And this is, if you need a visual, this is the kingdom of God. This is what it looks like. Peace, harmony, people getting along with each other, people having a great relationship with God. Everything is just kind of working the way it was intended to. So that's the kingdom of God. But of course, most of us know the story, and we know it didn't stay that way, right? That's not how we're living right now. Sin comes into the picture, and Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden, and now they're in the world. And the world, as we see in the Bible, is Satan's domain. He has authority in the world. And we see that quite vividly because we see the impact of sin in the world. There's death now. There's sickness. There's all kinds of suffering. None of that existed in the garden, but it all exists in the world, right? And so, and our relationships with each other are strained. We no longer get along well, easily, right? It takes effort now. And our relationship with God is strained, right? Thankfully, this isn't the end of the story, though. The Bible continues, right, from that point. This all happens at the very beginning. The whole story of the Bible, beginning to end, or I guess for you, beginning to end, is God providing opportunity for us to be restored to that original way of life, to that kingdom of God living, where we have peace and harmony. And those are the things that God has for us. And the way he does that, the key way that he does that, isn't that fancy? Yeah. Is through Jesus. And Jesus coming into the world. So Jesus had to come into the world to be that bridge for us, to bridge that gap between what we had once and what we should have again and what we will have again. And so when Jesus is quoting this passage, that's what he's talking about. He is restoring the rule and the reign of God on the earth. He's bringing that power of the kingdom of God down to the earth, and he's bringing us closer to that end goal of living in that completely and entirely. So all of these things, you know, this list of proclaiming the good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery, so all these things, this isn't really like a job description of what, you know, Jesus, like, this is what I've come to do. He does more than this, right? We all know he does more than this. So this isn't really just a list of the things, and these things don't kind of stand in isolation. These things are evidence that the kingdom of God is here and that the Holy Spirit is on him. And so So Jesus has come into the world, he's brought the power of the kingdom of God, and he is reversing the impact of sin, reversing what happened when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, and bringing us back to wholeness and completeness. Completeness? Completion? So today, we are going to be talking about that line there, the second from the bottom in the bold, to set the oppressed free. So When I say oppression, I always forget about this one. Or as I like to call it, it's good to be a sheep. That's actually the new title. And that will hopefully make sense to you by the time we get to the end. So when I say the word oppression, a variety of different things come to each of our minds, depending on our background, our experience, all of them bad, obviously, and all of them just really signify someone or something pressing down, right? That's why it's called oppression. Someone or something pressing down on someone, keeping them down, holding them down, keeping them back, holding them back, right? Through really no good reason. They don't deserve it. None of the people in this picture deserve it, right? And people just oppress them because they can, right? Obvious evidence of sin in our world. In Jesus' day, when Jesus talked about setting the oppressed free, these weren't the kind of things that came to their mind, right? These are the things on our mind today. But what came to the people listening to Jesus were two main issues. And the first one was caring for the vulnerable in society. And in that day, if you didn't have a family, you were very vulnerable because there were no other safety nets. There was no social security, no welfare. We didn't have anything like that. And so your family was the one to take care of you once you couldn't work anymore or if you became sick and couldn't work anymore. They were the ones to provide for you and to protect you and make sure that someone didn't take advantage of you. And so particularly, the Bible talks about the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner, because these are people who don't have that safety net of a family, and they are particularly vulnerable to being taken advantage of and being oppressed. The other thing that would have come to their mind was political oppression, because at the time Jesus was speaking, Israel was under Roman occupation. Now, I've never been under occupation from another government, but I'm sure we can all imagine and we can read and we can know that that's not a great thing, right? The Romans didn't come for the benefit of the Israelites. They came for their own benefit. So being under Roman occupation was definitely not something that they enjoyed. It was certainly oppression. So one thing we can know for sure, whether it's our modern-day understanding of oppression or their understanding of oppression, we can know that God hates all forms of oppression. And I think that's obvious, but I still think it's worth stating and worth pointing out that God designed us. Remember that garden? That's the life he has for us. There was no oppression there, right? People got along. They didn't take advantage of each other. That's what God has for us. We're his children, right? Like, I know as a parent, and anyone else in this room as a parent, if someone's picking on your kid, you're unhappy, right? And then you're even more unhappy when it's one of your other kids doing it. And that's how God feels when he sees oppression in the world, right? Of course, I didn't experience any of that from my older brothers, I can tell you, yeah. a story just came to mind that I don't have time to share with you, but it would be funny. Has to do with balloons and a mattress. Okay, so Jesus hates all forms of oppression. And when he saw this happening, he started telling them, hey, knock it off, especially to the leaders of Israel, the kings, the priests, the prophets. He gave them clear instructions, and he gave this through his prophets, to seek justice, to encourage the oppressed, defend the fatherless, plead the case of the widow, administer true justice, and this one, show mercy and compassion. Honestly, if he just said that and we just did that, we wouldn't need all these other descriptors, right? It all comes down to mercy and compassion. Don't oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. If you look through the prophets in the Old Testament, you will see statements like this over and over and over again, partially because they didn't listen. Right? They kept doing it. So God had to keep telling him. So he did. He kept warning them through the prophets and through their lack of social justice and their interest in worshiping foreign gods. God warned them. He's like, you guys need to stop. You need to come back into the fold, worshiping God, taking care of each other. And if not, that he's going to discipline them and he's going to bring things back around. And he did. And he allowed the empires of Assyria and then Babylon to invade. So that political oppression, that Roman occupation was existing back then, right? And this is what we call the exile. They came in, so these empires came in and they took over and then they scattered people. They sent them all throughout the empire, right? Divide and conquer, split them up. So not only did they not have their king anymore, they were ruled by this other king, which was horrible, but then they also were sent out, sent away, sometimes split up. So that's what happened as a result of them not listening to God. But the other thing through the prophets that's really important to remember is God promised that it wouldn't last forever. That this time in exile, that this time of suffering would not last forever. And God would send a ruler who would free them and who would restore things to the way that they were supposed to be. Now, in their minds, they're like another king like King David. King David was the best, right? Because under David's reign, they had peace, they had plenty, it was great. There were a lot of kings since then that weren't so great. So they remembered how great it was under David. And that's what they had in mind, a king, just like David is going to come. That's not exactly what God had in mind. God had something a little different in mind, and he describes this new ruler for us in multiple places, but especially in the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to read through this, this passage. And as I do, keep in mind this is a somewhat poetic passage, and so I've got some terms that will kind of help make sense of things. Oh, and you know what? In my new printout, I didn't print out the passage. So I will need someone to hand me a Bible that has Ezekiel in it, or a phone, sorry. Well, this is what happens when it's your first time teaching. Oh, do we have a Bible up here? Nope. All right, phone, mic. Husband, thank you. See, I printed out a fancy new version this morning and forgot the most important part. Okay, so this is from Ezekiel 34. And this is the prophet Ezekiel, God speaking through the prophet. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill, and they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the word of the Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so is plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for them, therefore, you shepherds, hear this. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves, and I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. And as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. And I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture. And the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. And there they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. And I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of savage beasts so that they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forests in safety. I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees will yield their fruit and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslaved them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. And then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the Sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Sovereign Lord. That is the kind of king and ruler God wants us to be under. That's the kind of kingdom he has for us, just like in the Garden of Eden. But this now, we have a ruler who's looking out for us and taking care of us in every way, shape, and form, and protecting us. So Jesus is this shepherd, right? And he does all these things, right? He protects us and rescues us, searches for us and gathers the lost, wants to take care of us, provide for us, to heal and strengthen, to shepherd with justice so that we can live in safety and without fear. It's kind of a foreign concept right now in the days of COVID, isn't it? Living in safety and without fear. But that's the world that God has for us, and that's what God wants for us. Jesus did all these things when he walked on the earth, and he especially did them for those that the rest of society rejected. Women, children, the poor, the lepers, the demon-possessed, the blind, the lame we've been hearing about the last few weeks, the prostitutes. Anybody else that society pushed to the margins, Jesus brought to the middle where they could be close to their shepherd. The shepherd wouldn't put the lambs on the edge. He wouldn't put the injured on the edge of the flock because there they would be vulnerable to attack from a predator. He brings them in close. And if they need to be carried, he carries them. If they need to be healed, he heals them, right? So Jesus is our model for this, and he did this. And he's continuing to do it through the Holy Spirit. And he wants to be your shepherd king. So what does that look like? What does it look like to follow a shepherd king? To follow Jesus. Well, you have a choice. You don't have to do it. We're all following something, right? We can continue doing whatever we're doing, or we can choose to let Jesus be our shepherd. We can have different shepherds, different leaders, or try it on our own, right? Which never goes very well for a sheep. They're flock animals for a reason, right? Choose to trust him. He's a good, good shepherd. It's hard to think about putting your trust in another person, right? Because people are fallible and sinful and they'll let us down, but Jesus isn't. And he's good. We've just heard all these things, all these characteristics about him, that he is good and he has nothing but good things in mind for you. So we can trust him. We can lay down our control. If you've never done that, if you've never made a choice to follow Jesus, today is a great day to make that choice. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's not this big, ornate deal or anything complicated. It can be just a quick prayer. It's just a choice that, you know what, this shepherd I'm following now or not following, this isn't working out. And I want this other kind of God. I want this other kind of shepherd who's going to care for me and love me and treat me with justice and compassion and mercy. And for those of us who have done that, who have made that commitment to Jesus at some point in our life, we still have to kind of do that on a daily basis, don't we? I know I do. I don't know if any of you are like me. I kind of like to control things, kind of like to do things my own way. David was this David, not King David, David Stark David, not to get them confused, but, excuse me, he was preaching about Jesus being our shepherd, and a number of years ago, I even remember where I was sitting, we were facing that way then, and I was up there, kind of where my seat is now, and God gave me this picture of me as a lamb. It was really cute. I was a cute little lamb. But then the lamb tried to carry the shepherd's staff, which you can kind of imagine, right? But if you need a little help, it kind of looks like that. It doesn't go very well. Yeah? Sheep aren't supposed to be shepherds. We're supposed to be sheep. And shepherds are much better at being shepherds than we are. I mean, for goodness sake, you can't even get out of the sheep pen. You'd be stuck in the pen where it's muddy and there's no food or water. You need to get out where it's green. So, so sometimes we just have to kind of make that decision that, okay, I'm going to let you be my shepherd today, right? So since I need visual reminders, this is my little reminder. You can see my little toy sheep. Yes, I actually went to the store and bought a little toy sheep. I'm not sure. It's too small to tell. Or they just don't include that. I don't know. He sits on my desk and is a reminder to me that I'm just a sheep. And you know, and actually the word that I got from God was that I'm just a stupid sheep, which sounds demeaning. But it's actually quite freeing when you have permission to be a stupid sheep. You don't have to make the decisions. You don't have to do it all right. You don't have to be perfect. You can be a little stupid sheep, and God is thrilled with you. He is. He's thrilled with you. And it actually works better that way. When we're just a sheep and we follow and we let God lead, the whole thing just works a little bit better. And we're not very good at carrying that staff. Get to know his voice. Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know my voice. And that is true. Sheep do know the voice of their shepherd. So get to know him. Get to know Jesus. Read the Bible. Join a prayer group. Join a home group. Pray. Meditate. Hang around other sheep. I promise you, the more you get to know about Jesus, the easier he is to trust. Excuse me. The easier he is to follow. Because the more you get to know about him, the more you really come to understand how much he loves you and how good he is and what he has for you. Whoops. Which is, don't want to get ahead of me. The third one, follow where he leads. That scripture passage that we read, he only has good pastures for you. He's not going to lead you into a den of wolves. He's not going to take you anywhere bad. It might be hard, right? You might have to walk a long way or climb a hill or go up some rocks. But the end goal is worth it. He has good, good things for you. So if he's leading you somewhere, you should follow. It's always good. We were talking about that initial slide of how Jesus coming to earth, Jesus is bringing the power of the kingdom of God to earth. And that power is pushing out the power of sin and evil. And that power, so we all know that at some point, right, whether it's heaven or when Jesus comes back, everything's going to be healed, everybody's going to be great. We have that picture of heaven in our mind. Until then, Jesus came here on earth and brought that power with him. So even though we have to live in this world, we still have access to that power of the kingdom of God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So ask for some of it. We see over and over in the Bible, and David talked about this last week, sometimes Jesus says, what do you want? I want to be healed. I don't want to live under this oppression anymore. Whatever it was, I didn't do that. I don't know what happened. Oh, there we go. Maybe I did. I might have done that. Look, I just instantly shifted blame, just like Eve and Adam in the garden. We've come so far. So ask him. We're going to have prayer time at the end of the service today. Whether you're here or you're online, you can receive prayer. Ask him for healing. Ask him for freedom. And that's also a great time, if you've never asked Jesus to be your shepherd, to ask him to be your shepherd. And if we're able to do that, if we're able to take on the role of a sheep, then we can find rest. The poor little dog wasn't able to run and have fun with that giant stick in his mouth. But once he dropped it, he could run and, you know, frolic and do whatever dogs do, roll in smelly things. That's what my dog likes to do. But not until we can learn how to trust him the way a sheep would. That's where the true peace and the rest for our soul is when we can trust him. So Jesus is a good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. They're bad shepherds. He's a good shepherd. He has nothing but good things for us. He wants us to live in freedom. And it is a daily choice to be the sheep. And it's good to be a sheep when Jesus is your shepherd. So, our invitation for the week coming up. Ask God to help you be more like a sheep. What are you holding on to? What is the staff in your mouth that's really keeping you from enjoying freedom and peace? Ask him. Ask him what that is. And then as far as moving others toward Jesus, you know, in Matthew 9, says that when Jesus went through the towns and villages and he was preaching the good news and healing sickness and disease, said when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed like sheep without a shepherd. Our world is harassed. You guys can come on up. Our world is harassed. There are a lot of sheep out there without a shepherd, and life is hard. So whatever kindness and compassion and love and mercy that you receive from Jesus, share it with somebody else this week, even if it's in a small way. It goes a long way. And I've added a new thing to the invitation slide without permission. If you want to dive deeper, there is this little book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. I looked it up on Amazon today. It's 176 pages, so if I can get through it, you can get through it. I am not a reader. This is a short read. It's an easy read. It's really interesting. It's about this guy, Philip Keller, who actually is a shepherd, who takes care of sheep. And he's a Christian, and he will allow you to really understand, unless anybody in here already knows what it's like to be a shepherd. No, not many of us. But you'll get a real understanding of what it takes for God to be that good shepherd and what it takes, what a beautiful thing it is to have that relationship between a sheep and its shepherd. And I think I'm done.